Rumi. Konya, October 31st, 1260. By and large, over time, pain turns into grief, grief turns into silence, and silence turns into lonesomeness, as vast and pure as the Mediterranean Sea. Today is the 16th anniversary of the day Shams and I met in front of the Inn of Sugar Venders. Every year on the last day of October, I retreat into a solitude that grows in weight day by day. I spend 40 days in Chilla, thinking of the 40 rules. I remember and review each of them. But there, in the far reaches of my mind, there is only Shams of Tabriz, glittering. You think you cannot live anymore. You think that the light of your soul has been put out and that you will stay in the dark forever. But when you are engulfed by such solid darkness, when you have both eyes closed to the world, a third eye opens in your heart, and only then do you come to realize that eyesight conflicts with inner knowledge. No eye sees so vast and deep as the eye of love. After grief comes another season, another valley, another you. And the lover who is nowhere to be found, you start to see everywhere. You see him in the drop of water that falls into the ocean, in the high tide that follows the waxing of the moon, or in the morning wind that spreads its fresh smell. You see him in the geomancy symbols in the sand, in the tiny particles of rock glittering under the sun, in the smile of a newborn baby, or in your throbbing vein. How can you say Shams is gone when he is everywhere and in everything? Deep in the slow whirling of sorrow and longing, I am with Shams every day, every minute. My chest is a cave where Shams is resting. Just as a mountain keeps an echo inside itself, I hold the voice of Shams within. Of the scholar and preacher that I once had been, not even the smallest speck remains. Love has taken away all of my practices and habits. Instead, it has filled me with poetry. And though I know that there are no words that can express this inner journey of mine, I believe in words. I am a believer of words. Two people have helped me through my hardest days, my elder son and a saint named Saladin, the gold beater. It was while listening to him work in his small store, beating leaves of gold to perfection, that I had the most wonderful inspiration to put the final touches to the dance of the whirling dervishes. The rhythm emanating from Saladin's store was the same as the pulse of the universe, the divine rhythm Shams had talked and cared so much about. In time, my elder son married Saladin's daughter, Fatima. Bright and inquisitive, she reminded me of Kimya. I taught her the Quran. She became so dear to me that I started referring to her as my right eye and her sister, Hadiya, as my left eye. That is the one thing dear Kimya proved to me long ago, that girls are just as good students as boys, if not even better. I arrange Sima sessions for women and advise Sufi sisters to continue this tradition. 4 years ago, I began to recite the Mathnawi. The first line came to me one day at dawn, apropos of nothing, while I was watching the sunlight slice the dark. Ever since then, the poems spill out of my lips as if by a force of their own. I do not write them down. It was Saladin who painstakingly wrote out those early poems, and my son made copies of each. It is thanks to them that the poems survived, because the truth is, if asked to repeat any one of them today, I don't think I could. Prose or poetry, the words come to me in flocks and then leave just as suddenly, like migrating birds. I am only the bed of water where they stop and rest on their way to warmer lands. When I start a poem, I never know beforehand what I'm going to say. It could be long or it could be short. I don't plan it. And when the poem is over, I'm quiet again. I live in silence. And silence, khamush, is one of the two signatures I use in my ghazals. The other one is Shams of Tabriz. The world has been moving and changing at a speed we human beings can neither control nor comprehend. In 1248, Baghdad fell to the Mongols, the one city that prided itself on its fortitude and glamour and claimed to be the center of the world, suffered defeat. That same year Saladin died. My dervishes and I had a huge celebration, passing through the streets with drums and flutes, dancing and singing in joy, because that is how a saint should be buried. In 1260 it was the Mongols' turn to lose. The Mamluks of Egypt defeated them. Yesterday's victors became today's losers. Every winner is inclined to think he will be triumphant forever. Every loser tends to fear that he is going to be beaten forever. But both were wrong for the same reason. Everything changes except the face of God. After the death of Saladin, Husam, the student who had matured so fast and so well along the spiritual path that he is now called Husam Celebi by everyone, helped me to write down the poems. He is the scribe to whom I dedicated the entire Masnawi. Modest and generous, if anyone asks Husam who he is or what he does, without missing a beat, he says, "I am a humble follower of Shams of Tabriz. That's who I am." Little by little, one turns 40, 50, and 60, and with each major decade, feels more complete. You need to keep walking, though there's no place to arrive at. The universe is turning constantly and relentlessly, and so are the earth and the moon. But it is nothing other than a secret embedded within us human beings that makes it all move. With that knowledge, we dervishes will dance our way through love and heartbreak, even if no one understands what we are doing. We will dance in the middle of a brawl or a major war all the same. We will dance in our hurt and grief, with joy and elation, alone and together, as slow and fast as the flow of water. We will dance in our blood. There is a perfect harmony and subtle balance in all that is and was in the universe. The dots change constantly and replace one another, but the circle remains intact. Rule number 39. While the parts change, the whole always remains the same. For every thief that departs this world, a new one is born, and every decent person that passes away is replaced by a new one. In this way, not only does nothing remain the same, but also nothing ever really changes. For every Sufi that dies, another is born somewhere. Our religion is the religion of love, and we are all connected in a chain of hearts. If and when one of the links is broken, another one is added elsewhere. For every Shams of Tabriz who has passed away, there will emerge a new one in a different age, under a different name. Names change, they come and go, but the essence remains the same.